Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Yeah, we're just thinking, manifesting high. Even Jace is going to be on a million.
Do you know what? Do you know what? When we were in Bundy on our holiday break, our overnight trip, a stay there, I called into the news agent at, I forget where it was, somewhere, and next to Cornet's Super IGA, that's where it was actually, and I bought a lotto ticket because it was for the $8 million before New Year's or whatever it was. Anyway, I didn't have my purse with me. I just had my phone and keys. So I bought the lotto ticket and I put it into my bikini bra that I was wearing underneath my dress because then we were going straight to Bagara for a swim. And oh, no. I went in. There's like a lagoon there called Kelly's that's very calm. And I was just kind of sitting in that water, totally forgot that I had this Powerball ticket near my Norks. And then I was like, I'm just going to go into the surf for a swim, which I did. And it was amazing. And then as I was sitting in the car, I was like, shit. I've got that lotto ticket in there. No, I didn't. It had washed out into the surf somewhere. Well, nothing. I mean, I checked the news. I didn't let Wills know that had happened because I was like, what if? What if it's like we're still trying to track down an $8 million winner? They bought the ticket at Cornet Super IGA news agency on this date. I would just block it from my memory and never think about it again. It would hurt you, but there was nothing. So at most I could think it was like, you know.
Unless someone found the ticket and claimed it.
No, well, it would have been so wet that the numbers would have washed
away. I would have thought, like, the machines that you put the tickets through, surely there is, like, a time stamp on that ticket being bought, and then the security footage of the store.
You'd really have to push it, or like an FPOS receipt
or a retina scan
like that.
That's what I'd want.
Well, I think that's why they want people to be in the winner's circle, right?
Yeah,
so if anything happens to your ticket,
it's automated.
You're still tracked.
But surely that would be enough to prove, right?
I think they have so many people. In fact, it'd be great to chat to someone from Tats.
I know someone from
to
Tats.
And just be like, how many people put in false lotto claims every year?
And that's exactly, so this lady that I know is the lady that calls the winners. So when someone won $1 million, she calls them and says, hey, you've won the lotto.
Yes. Yeah, I used to know the lady who did that too.
We might know the same lady.
Yeah.
Can't remember her name.
The lady only was a listener.
I love an email
somewhere.
I don't
know if she's there. Oh, and then there's another guy on it. Yeah. But yeah, I reckon people would try and do it all the time. And they would just see straight through it. But what if you were legit? What if you legitimately had the winning ticket and it had washed away the surf at Bundaberg?
Can you imagine that if, like,
because Wills and my theory is we buy
$8 million and then you
lost. Well, when Wills is up north, right, we're always like, buy a ticket from the news agency in Bowen because then I'll buy one in Brisbane. But it's always those excellent, regional stories.
It
it's like, a mother of eight from Taree has won the lotto. You never really hear a city story. Yeah. You want a regional ticket. That's what I feel.
Mm. Yeah, that would be, I mean, I can't. Road I don't think trip I've today? Ever bought a lotto ticket.
What?
No.
I don't buy them often, but just for the big ones. When really, you'd have a better luck probably
the
smaller ones because I'd be happy. I don't even need $1 million.
I
would be happy with like,
how much
God.
Would you be happy with?
Like half a mil would still be a game changer in life.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, look, if I had enough money to buy a house, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Also, I need to talk to you about subdividing your property, Liz.
Oh,
I know you've got a lot of it.
No, only if you have your wedding added. Then I'll talk to you.
If you subdivide a 400-metre square block of your property for me to build a house on, I will have our wedding at your
house. So what, we're going to be neighbours now?
Hang on. How is that costing?
I'll buy it off you,
he'll
obviously.
He'll buy it.
Yeah.
Why, do you want to move to Acreage?
Do you want to move to the car wars?
We wouldn't mind Acreage. It's
Hi,
just,
Jason.
The more I look at...
I mean, I just saw a story of a woman in Rockhampton who's realised that someone has been living in her ceiling for months when she came home and found them cooking chicken
Remy.
Nuggets on her stove.
Remy's in my house, in my roof.
Dead set. Like, you could just live in the roof. You and Sarah, they wouldn't know. The giveaway is if you cook
property.
The nugs in the oven.
I'd want an area of your property that's like away from your house ish.
Why?
Like not right next door.
Why?
Where's the
what
shed?
What about where the shed is?
Yeah.
That's my further. I haven't actually seen your property.
Well, they've
so
only got one chook now, and the chook lives in the house. So you could convert the chook pen.
We're going to be talking about the chook in
tomorrow's
show, guys.
To a tiny home. Would you do a tiny home?
You don't want to do a tiny home.
I love those shows.
You know
shows.
What I was actually looking at?
I love
I was looking at shipping container homes. Have
you
seen
cool.
those?
They're cool. They're great.
Oh, some of the stuff people do with them.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah. I love the idea of a tiny home, though, back on the tiny home thing.
I don't want a tiny home.
I think it's, no, I mean, not long term.
Oh, okay. Like a holiday home. Not like you're just going to stay there for a little bit.
I'd like to put Remy out in one.
A tiny home? Mm. Oh, they're very clever.
So
Sorry,
clever.
Invisalign going in.
I know, I haven't put mine back in this morning.
Yeah, good.
The girls, my girls just find it the grossest noise
Do
in
you
the
have
world.
Toothpaste?
No, I just rinsed.
If any Brisbane listeners here in like the not more, less than 20 kilometres out of the city, have some land that they want to sell.
Oh, God, Jace.
Hit me up.
The thing is to subdivide costs a fair bit of money and you need to have the council
approval.
That area needs to be approved for subdivision.
Yeah.
And Lee's is the council.
We won't tell anyone, Lee.
She is the mayoress. With a direct line.
How much
to...
property do you have?
I think we're on like an acre, just under 2 acres.
How big is that in square meters?
Hang on. I know. Hang on.
So hard.
I need to know if it's like, what's that?
Because isn't it?
What is that,
I think an acre is 400.
600,000 square meters, or is that an acre and a half?
600,000.
Sorry, 6,000. 6,000.
What the hell are you, a baron? How many cattle are you running on that?
6,000 square meters.
Okay,
what's that?
It's 8,000 square meters.
Okay,
8,100.
How much would you sell 1,000 square meters to me for?
Jase,
one
don't
acre.
Know.
Okay, here we go. 1 acre, just reference, is 4,000. Basically, 4,000 square meters.
Okay, okay,
right.
So I don't know. Let me get back to you on that. Yeah.
What do you want? How many square meters? 1,000.
Just 1,000.
Yeah, it's not up.
So that's
going to
be a quarter of an acre, Lise. God, you're tight.
Yeah. I'm going to buy it off you. I don't want it for free.
So much. What about that scrub land that Jase and Sarah can clear themselves like pioneers?
I'll produce your podcast
you can
for the rest
damper.
Of my life if you give it to me for free.
You can make damper every night.
Yeah, sure.
Pop the billy on the stove.
Be
Dan
like
and
those,
I can pizza oven
start
it.
Like just reading Henry Lawson poetry before bed.
Down by the
wear
what
a
is
hat
it?
With,
riverbank?
With corks.
Yeah, cork hats. Get rid of the flies.
Anyway, so what I've learnt is that land is getting very expensive.
You've only just learned that now?
Yeah, since I've been looking.
Brisbane's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, everyone in
Actually,
Sydney and
guys,
Melbourne listening are like rolling their eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but I mean, everyone can accept that no matter
where
you
are. I mean, what, for 900,000 in Sydney, you can get a one bedroom studio apartment.
Big news, guys. Big news about Belinda Zuccarello.
Oh, what's she doing?
Well, this is like a childhood dream, perhaps, that's coming true. I'm crossing toes and crossing.
Oh, my God. Is she moving out near you?
Yeah. They've bought a house.
Oh,
Walking distance?
Six and a half kilometres from my house. But, you know, an offer's been accepted, but, of course, they've got to go through your obligatory.
Yes, building and pairs.
So it's not a done deal.
But you're excited.
It's a quick settlement, 30 days.
Wow, that's fast.
It's fast.
Seller motivated to sell.
Mm. Yeah, really wants to get rid of it.
Yeah, so it could be fun.
Could be those three girls, Lise and Sarah and Belinda Zuccarello.
It could be fun.
Can we do a radio show, like a whole radio show? So 6 talk breaks with Belinda Zuccarello.
The thing
I
is,
trust
I can't,
her for a second.
And I can't compete with Belinda Zuccarello. I'm just going to step out and let Belinda take the mic.
Those two girls with Lise and Belinda.
I wouldn't trust
Lise
her for a minute. She has way too much dirt on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sarah,
I mean, you
should
think
become best friends with Belinda Zuccarello so you
I
know
like
all the dirt.
I like her a lot. But I also feel if I knew them at school...
You would have hated them?
Probably.
Yeah. See,
because I was so rebellious.
I would have hated... me now would have hated Jase at school.
Oh, no, I would have liked them both at school. They would have been crazy kids. my crazy friends. Mum said, do you know what I heard? Lee's did. Lee's escaped from the house the other night and her mother caught her with a pebble in the door.
Smart.
You don't go and hang around, you know, St. Paul's Oval doing nangs with Belinda and Lee's, do you, Sarah?
Peter Lightfoot.
Peter Lightfoot, that's it.
Peter Lightfoot Oval.
Do you think he was related to Daniel Lightfoot? Guy. Must have been. Fashion designer in the 90s.
No, surely not. A sports
Lightfoot.
Oval.
Lightfoot's
Peter
not.
Peter Lightfoot. That's a really
cool
name.
Who is Peter
name.
Lightfoot?
Well, he would have been an AFL or a footy player or something, right?
God, such fond memories.
Yeah, like
Peter
someone
Lightfoot.
Famous that came from the school.
Yeah. Is there any oval named after Dane? Is there any like...
Carlaw Oval.
Carlaw Oval.
Oh, that's awesome. Actually, there's a really... I know the perfect one. Near Chermside, there's like a bunch of cricket and footy fields.
Yes.
If we could just name one of those after him.
Carlaw, yeah.
Also, found out... In World War II, it was a place for cattle and stuff for the soldiers. So there was like a full army set up out there.
Oh, why there, did you try and buy that oval?
No.
Why so much knowledge?
Why so much research?
I was actually walking it and they've got all those little plaques and stuff that explain to you.
Yeah. Nothing like an
I'm looking
I love
up
historic plaque.
Who was Peter Lightfoot? The thing is, the Peter Lightfoot Oval in the western suburbs of Brisbane, for those playing along, the Peter Lightfoot Oval backed on to a golf course. Now, what was the name? Would that have been the Mount Omni Golf Course? Right? So the golf course obviously is privately owned, but you could just leg the fence.
Of course.
And then hang out in, like, on the nice grass.
On the green. Like, as the green.
So the green. And that's where Belinda Zuccarello fell out of a tree because then the security, the golf course security
saw. What time was this?
Oh, God. In the middle of the night.
What's security doing out in the golf course?
Well, I don't know, but they chased us down.
Probably hearing about the Brigidine girls who were sitting in trees. Neighbour complaints.
There must have been neighbour because, it's residential. Like on the outskirts of the golf course, there's residences, right? So someone would have been like, there's people pretty
in the
much
trees.
Legging over our backyard.
We can see tiny orange lights.
Do you
and
think
that was just them doing durries in the trees.
Do you think there's a story arc? You know how radios like to do these things where they talk about the same thing over and over for weeks. And build it up as we go. Do you think our show could do one? I know we're not...
Just around Peter Lightfoot Oval.
No.
Do an OB.
Around finding a park that can be renamed after Dane Carlaw.
Oh, my God.
Dane Carlaw
Why
Park.
Why Dane, though?
Well, that's because he's famous. I knew we would
Why
take it there
Dane?
Because now it's Lisa's turn to shine. She's
it
the
is.
Famous Carlaw.
Why would it
yeah,
be
they're
after...
not going to name. No, they name a park after past famous people. Lisa's still, well, getting there.
And we don't know how long for.
She's been trying to get there for a while.
My light is dimming.
Well, what if we just like vandalised existing parks and just put an overlay Carlaw on? Like let's say the Gabba.
Or we find a Carlaw Park.
Or a Curlew.
Or Curlew Park and we just change a couple of letters
Who
here,
names,
there and everywhere.
Do you reckon we could make a pitch to the council to, like, if there's a park, if you know a park that
you
hasn't
reckon
been
just,
named,
like, email the mayor, Adrian AIDS,
hey,
and say,
have you thought about
it? Have you thought about
I wouldn't call him AIDS.
All right. All right, well.
Shrinner,
all right.
Shrinner,
mate. What if it's a two-for-one? So if he gets an oval named after him, so there's Shrinner Oval. And then there's
Carlaw Oval.
Carlaw Grounds.
What sort of park would Dane
Dane doesn't
be
want a park. On? Dane
would
wants
he be
to
oval?
Fade.
Dane
has faded into obscurity.
Dane is living in like former athletic hermitage.
If Dane had his way, he would never see the light of day again. Like he's quite happy not.
Yeah, but imagine him hanging out in his park in front of that sign that says Dane Carlaw Park. Dane Carlaw Oval.
You'd be better off making it Remy Carlaw. Actually, get it in advance because
also not famous.
But he will be.
I don't think they preempt.
No, I
park
think
names.
But I think this is
it's
my
a lot to live up to.
This is my prediction. All right, you've heard it here first on the 21st of January. Oh, 21.
Hey, this
one,
recording
21.
Will live in infamy.
Yeah.
Infamy.
Yeah, infamy. Yes.
What's that mean?
Well, if you're infamous is you're famous for doing something bad. Like Bonnie and Clyde were infamous.
Or okay, Ned Kelly, infamous.
What's it mean that it would live in forever?
Oh, in
eternity? Perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
I think so. But I think Remy is going to end up playing for the Brisbane Lions.
What?
I think he is going to end up being an excellent AFL player and he's going to be in the draft when he's 17.
I mean, God help him though, because he...
Does he like AFL?
Yeah, he plays AFL. But like Remy is at the point in his life where there was a bit of a debacle at home the other day actually, because the season's not back, but they're starting to get the boys together to get to work on their fitness again. Just a couple of little sessions here there. Just it's not obligatory to attend, but the first session back was on Sunday. And they made the boys do a beep test.
Oh.
Are you familiar
yeah.
with? It's, you know, for those of you who don't know, you can load it up on your phone or, you know, whatever, a speaker. And basically the test starts off slow. You have to run between two, which is how, usually it's about 25 metres. Maybe it's,
yeah,
it's 30 metres, whatever. Yeah. And when you run, you wait for the beep. When the beep goes again, you run back and it gets faster and faster and faster. And each time you beep, mm-hmm. you go up a level. So it's level one, level 1.1, 1.2,
and it goes 2.1.
Right?
What are you
and
up
it
to?
Does get well. Look, it wasn't great.
Oh my God, Jace is getting competitive with me.
No,
I remember my best ever.
And I took him, but like Remy's like of the persuasion of like, yeah, that'll do, right? Especially after 7 weeks of holidays. So he bowed out at 5.1.
Oh.
Old mates out. He's like, whew. He still had steam. And I was like, he was the first one. And I was like, this is not going to go down well with your father when we go home. And of course, first thing back, what did you guys do? Oh, I did the beep test. What did you get up to? 5.1. And he was like, were you the first one out? He's like, yep. And he's like, and Tony went, oh, for fuck's sake. Walked off. And I was like, it's okay. It was very humid and it was a fun session.
What's your most?
Okay, these days I probably wouldn't make 5. My cardio is awful. But in my prime, when I was playing a lot of soccer.
And you're a good runner, too.
And you're a soccer player.
Runner, is very endurance.
My best I think I ever did was 12.8.
That's very good. Yeah. That's exceptional.
Oh, God, okay, you say
I was competing with my mate Lachlan, who did a 13.4,
that's
I think.
That's insane.
What's Dane's best?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't asked
He's
him.
He's a
but
big boy, though. He wouldn't. Like
I should ask him.
Speed. Have you seen that try of the Origin back in?
He did have speed for his
very
size.
Good.
The one that Jack plays over
but
and
this
over
is
again.
Not this is not speed per se. It's really it gets to the point of endurance. One of the kids did a 10.2, which was pretty good. He's 11 years old. But he's a tiny little thing,
nimble,
just small and just
I've always said height goes against you with athleticism. Doesn't
not
work
AFL,
when you're
though.
Talking about netballers or basketballers or anyone else.
One of the mums yelled out. One of the mums yelled out to her kid, "Your thumbs aren't helping you now, are they?" Because he'd been playing PlayStation the whole holidays. And I was like, "Ah, yes, I'm among my people here."
I feel like we did a beep test at school once.
Yeah, they used to be very common in PE,
and it's a good little.
Except then they took them out because I think it was because of the negative feeling of dropping out early.
Yeah.
But that's why we were a more resilient generation.
We are,
that's what, and that's exactly what I said. Ren was like, I think I've disappointed Dad. And I said, look, this session was not a test. You're not preseason. You're not anything like that. And I said, when you suck at something, it gives you, like, next week.
Well, you can't be good at everything. You have to suck
also,
at something.
Sarah, and I said, so what? You did a 5.1. You've never done a, like, you know, next week you go 5.2 and you pat yourself on the back. And I said, it's not the end. Like, so, yeah, you did disappoint Dad. So what? Dad
Should
will get
we give
over
him,
it.
You know how Sarah's doing her push-up challenge?
Oh, yeah.
Should we give Remy the beep test challenge and he has to hit 6.5? Or something.
From 1 week to the next?
No, like when Sarah hits her push-up, that's the day that we do the beep test
with
Remy.
We give him...
Yeah.
No, I think I'm just going to test him every week for the beep test.
You get over the beep test pretty quick.
I feel like I can remember doing it with sit-ups. Would that be a thing?
No. No. How many sit-ups can you do in the...
No.
You just got to do one sit-up every
beep. Maybe that was me just screaming beep. I don't know. I'm sure I can remember doing something with sit-ups in PE and a beep happening.
I mean, maybe.
There is like...
Maybe you had a particularly
where you do,
cool PE teacher.
Where you do like one sit-up,
yes, he called me Sarah
sit-ups.
Every week.
Mm.
Sarah.
About Sarah, and a bit about Sarah, sir. Oh, right, next week. Sarah.
I actually got kicked out of a class for correcting a teacher like that.
Really?
My mate Lachlan, he called him Larklin because he's American. And so it's Lachlan, so he goes, get out. Ooh, he just kicked me out of the class.
Yeah, my mum kicked me out of a class for correcting her once. That's it. I had her for geography. Yeah, I had her for geography in grade 8 for a term, and she called me Sarah in class in front of all my
peers.
And you thought, oh, mum, I'm going to show you.
And I just thought, and I yelled back, rah.
Oh, well, you just cheeky
and
bitch.
Like a dinosaur.
And she hauled me outside and then gave me a talking down, like directly beside the window where all the kids were looking out. And she was like, you will never, ever, ever correct me when I'm standing in front of a classroom or ever again. And she gave me a C.
And look how resilient you are.
I'm so resilient. Like water off a duck's back, anything. Anything. You want to troll me? I've been trolled my whole life. My mother gave me a C in geography.
Yeah, no.
Should we get to the show?
Oh, God, we haven't done that
yet. Yeah, look, we're not going to come back because I really need to go to the toilet.
Well, the show takes 23 minutes, so I don't know how long you're going to be in the bathroom for.
The coffee's hitting.
What about that meme I sent you? It's... Where did
it's
I put
so
that?
It's so crude. I don't it's know. So it's just like crude. A gerbil jumping into water.
And it says, your turd after the first sip of coffee. I don't know if it's a gerbil, Sarah. I sent it to my sister and she said it was a hippo. I thought it was a capybara.
A capybara.
It's a capybara,
that's
isn't
what it is.
It?
Yes.
I don't know what a capybara is.
Oh, my God,
is,
you should. Capybaras
it's like
are exceptional
wombat,
animals.
It's like a giant wombat gerbil.
But it's more than a capybara is quite sizable,
quite
Sarah.
Sizable.
South it's, African
okay,
animal.
Imagine a quokka.
Yeah. I'll show you a capybara.
Don't you like a wombat?
They're quite cute. Capybara. It's a rodent. It's in the... Okay, capybara is a giant... Oh, I thought it said giant curvy rodent. It says giant cavy rodent native.
I like curvy
too, because she is.
Shaming.
She's a curvy lass. Rodent native to South America. It is the largest living rodent in the world, also called capivara, chigurire, chiguriro, or felcho, capincho, or ronsoco.
So it's a big rat.
It is a member of blah, 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 blah. It's a big rat. Yeah. 35 to 66 kilos.
Holy.
As an adult.
God, that's a grown adult size.
Height, 50 to 64 centimetres. So it's like a big dog. It's like mini. Smaller than mini.
I'm actually.
Length,
can you show Jace a photo of it?
1.2 metres. It's a sizable bloody rat. Okay, here's a photo.
Did you guys notice the weight that I'd put on over the holidays?
No, not at all.
No.
Look at her. Look how cute.
Oh, I know them.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, they're cute. Yeah.
They're not rats. Like
a, well, they are. They're a rodent.
Like yeah, but they're like
They're like an
rats.
Oversized guinea pig.
Yeah.
Mm.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
I'd be down for a capybara as a pet.
No, and if we did notice your weight gain, Jace, we wouldn't say anything.
Oh, I'd like to be told.
Did you notice it? Sarah, don't.
I put on 5 kilos.
Did you?
Yes.
Where?
I think it's in my gut.
Do you think it's because you're happy?
I think it's because I've suddenly hit 30 and then it's just going downhill now.
I think it's because you're happy.
Nah. I'm happy.
Have you put it on in muscle?
No, I've put it on.
People say that. So like, oh, it's just muscle. Mate, do you know how much? I just
because you have to work for that and I know I haven't worked.
Okay, so it's not myself. I don't think it doesn't look like you've put on weight to me at all.
I mean, you look great.
I mean, Zac Efron can stay skinny, I can too.
Well, if this is you thick, then stay thick.
Fuck.
You're looking good. I saw you inserted more of yourself in the video yesterday. Thank you.
Oh, yes. It's because I was coming up with all these zingers.
Yeah. We need more Jace, more hot Jace.
I think I need to adjust the cameras because they shift really quickly between us.
Well, that's always been the problem. Your beef with these cameras, right?
I'll write that down today.
Mm. All right. Another thing for you to do.
I mean, one of my favourite pastimes, sorry, I really have my mind on the dunny now, but it is one of my favourite pastimes to count how long my wee can go for.
What's your longest?
Oh, look, remember we used to do that in our breaks.
Yeah, we did it at Gold Coast.
We hit the 20-second mark at one point.
Whoa, what?
Well, I think you did. I think I stopped at 17. But we'd just we'd sit down.
You're probably not going to believe this then. I held a pee from Ingham to Cairns, which is about 3 hours.
And
apparently I lost all the colour in my face and everything. Really worried about my bladder exploding. But bus driver still wouldn't pull over. Well, the thing was, it was before I was diagnosed with diabetes.
Oh, no.
And so my blood sugar was through the roof, so I was just needing to pee.
A lot.
Anyway, my pee, when I got off that, went for 1 minute and 36 seconds. Not even kidding.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know the human body. It was probably verging on a bloody UTI as well.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was when I was 15.
Did you measure how much
volume
of?
No, it was in a toilet. I didn't.
Yeah, I know, but you should have.
But you know, like when you're busting and you urinate, there's an initial like release.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Okay. So when you're busting, the initial release is hard to get going, which is what I found. I found when I got there, I was like, I struggled to get it to flow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because I was
because your muscles were that distended.
But at what point did you start timing? It could have been 3 minutes, and you're like, "This is going for a while. I'll press my stopwatch now." Oh, a minute 36.
No, mates were out the front, out the thing, because they knew on the bus. I was sitting there going, "I can't breathe. I can't move. I can't," and I could barely walk. So I had people carrying me basically to the toilet.
Was that like a trigger for you finding out that you had diabetes?
No, because before that, I'd noticed I wasn't sleeping through the night. I was peeing. Like waking up to pee two or three times during the night.
Right.
And so I was like, that's weird. This travel to Cairns, though, was the first time that I really went, I need to get something fixed here, because I was playing a lot of soccer.
Mm.
And what would happen was I'd play a game of soccer and I wouldn't be able to move. I'd just like lay there and just not move because I had no energy. Yeah. And because your blood sugar is high, you don't absorb energy through food and stuff. It just brings your blood sugar up. And so I was peeing a lot. Playing games of soccer, not moving, just peeing, and that's it. And then I got back, and I played a game of futsal, and I finished that, and I didn't move from the couch for 4 hours. Like, I physically couldn't move myself. And Mum's like, I think we need to get you fixed.
So can I ask a question? When you have type 1 diabetes, that's a condition you are born with.
No.
No?
They usually say it's from a trauma in your life or something like that.
So I was often like, why do people not find out they've got type 1 until later? But I thought you were born with type 1.
No. So I had glandular fever quite badly.
Okay.
Probably 3 months before I got diabetes. And they reckon that's the trauma that screwed up my immune system, like made my pancreas.
So then I'm so confused. But type 2 is
lifestyle
related.
So you can control that by exercising and eating well.
But type one, you have to be medicated. You have to be medicated.
Because your body just doesn't function
doesn't produce
in the right
insulin.
Way. So if you were diagnosed with, like, can you reverse type 2 diabetes if you changed your lifestyle? Or
you
put it in, like, remission
but you
or
can
something?
Sort of remission. You can control it. So you literally might not need to take anything.
Okay.
If you eat well and exercise regularly.
Is it like
regularly?
Cholesterol? Is type 2 diabetes as manageable as like something like lowering your cholesterol you can DIY?
I don't know that much. But the problem with type 2 is usually the people are overweight. And so they find it hard to control it because one, they're overweight, exercise is harder.
Yes.
And eating well is harder because they've set in their ways.
Okay.
So changing it back is really difficult.
Whereas you, no matter what you eat, no matter how you exercise or how often, you cannot.
Always have to take it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you have to inject.
And the older I get, the more I have to take to control food.
And do people with type 2 diabetes also have to inject or not everyone?
I think they can if you're not controlling it the other way.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. I don't know much. Too much.
Yeah, my bad. Type 2, you're just all type.
But I don't like when type 2 people go, oh, we're the same. type 1 and type 2 because, no, you have a choice here. You can fix yours.
Okay, so there's a bit of snobbery.
My neighbour.
So there's a weird diabetes flex.
There's diabetes snob
My neighbour, when I lived in Townsville, came over one day and he goes, oh, I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I was like, oh, that sucks. And he goes, yeah, but now you and I are the same, so maybe we can share stories. And I was like, get out.
We're absolutely
not the same, mate.
No, because you can't
type
help
one
it.
People
no,
are more, more aggressive.
Yeah.
Get out.
We're elites.
Well, yeah, that's right. You deserve
elite,
a bit of
defective
credit.
Insulin.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know. Well, that's something. I thought you were born with type 1 diabetes.
No.
I knew it was like a bodily function that doesn't work.
A lot of things change that you'll know. Like my eyesight went from like 20/20 vision to like the sign behind you that says those two girls. I could barely read that. Like it was just blur. I was like.
But you don't wear glasses?
No, because once your blood sugar is fixed, it corrects itself.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's just high blood sugar that makes it happen.
Can people be born with type 1 diabetes?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're born with it, or it's triggered following, or it's triggered.
And is that trauma often like an illness or a physical? Yeah.
So for a long time they didn't know what caused type 1, but that's the latest. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've researched it, but that was like probably 5 or 6 years ago. My doctor said usually that's what we think now.
Okay.
It's triggered by something.
Wow.
And she was asking about what had happened around that time, and I remember I'd glandular fever.
Okay.
So, yeah, but. Kids that are born with diabetes, so they've trained dogs now to smell changes in blood sugar.
Because they can't regulate their little bodies.
And I remember watching a wonderful documentary on service dogs, and one of the families that was in line, I suppose, to get one of these highly trained service dogs, they cost a bomb, but was for a young child who'd been diagnosed with diabetes, and they needed to know when they would be having.
Because if you're having a low blood sugar, the.
Can you remind me what to do with people again? Like. It's something about orange juice.
Just any sort of sugar. So can you actually just do like give someone a jelly bean, or would that be a bad thing?
No. If they're having a low blood sugar, then yes.
Yes.
But if they're non-responsive, call an ambulance.
Of course.
On the couch. Also, hey, Jace, you got to eat this jelly
bean. Here's a tip for anyone.
Eat it and you'll feel better.
If unresponsive and you're waiting for an ambulance to come, sugar sachets, so the ones with the paper and everything, just get that and tuck it into their gums.
And it dissolves.
Between their teeth and their gums. And the paper dissolves, the sugar gets into their blood quickly through their mouth.
But that's if they're low.
That's if they're unresponsive.
Regardless, unresponsive, if you do that, it can help.
It can help. It'll at least... probably save them.
That's a great
going way down.
Important tip.
But if they're responsive, just give them the sugar sachet and say eat that.
But if they're can they be high and have an episode?
High blood sugar, what happens is you just lose energy. You're really tired, lethargic. Okay. You'll be peeing a lot and you'll be really thirsty. The problem with high, most people know they're high. They go, oh, I don't feel great.
Okay.
But what do you feel when it's low?
I get confused, I get shaky, I get sweaty, I get...
That sounds like you in every radio show.
So a different type of... they're two very different feelings.
Yes. Okay. So what will happen is I can usually catch a low blood sugar because I get shaky to start with and I start to feel hot and I go, okay. And so I'll go fix it myself. But the further you go down that track, eventually you get too confused. So I get really confused about what's going on. I don't believe that I'm having low blood sugar. So I'll just continue on with what's going
on.
But I'm not really there. And you'll notice my eyes will probably be distant.
Glaze over.
So have you had a scare like that?
Heaps.
And why? Why?
Because you were
what were you doing?
My latest one was actually when I was in Townsville.
Okay.
And I went out drinking with a buddy of mine for the day.
Yep.
And then I came back. And
you don't often do that.
No, I don't drink much. No. And then so when I came back... Oh, and we had chicken wings. He made me some chicken wings. So we had the chicken wings. And so I took too much insulin for the chicken wings.
Okay.
And so when I came home, everyone just thought I was drunk. But I'd actually... And it happens... The problem with it happening slowly is you don't notice the confusion coming on. So usually I can catch the confusion. I go, oh, something doesn't feel right here. I need to fix myself. When it goes really slowly, you don't notice it. You just slip into it. And so I was just laying on the couch... pouring out sweat.
Right.
And then I was like moving around. I'm like, and then, and this is crazy what saved me. everyone else thought I was drunk, so they just left me. They just went, it's cool. Oh. Sarah came over and I reached my hand out to her, my partner, and I said, save me.
Oh, God.
And then, like, was like, non-responsive, but like just
nothing else.
Like that. And she's like, holy shit. And she just ran and got sugar for me.
Oh, my God. Gave me the sugar.
And it was the only thing. She goes, for some reason, when you said that to me, it felt real for me.
It was not drunk chat.
Yeah.
She knew you well enough.
Is that? Did you propose the day after?
No, that was after I proposed. Okay. So already had her.
Hold on. So go back to the bit where you said your mate made you chicken wings, so you took insulin.
Okay,
for that.
When I eat, I take a needle that is insulin because my body doesn't produce it like your body does.
Okay.
And so I took insulin.
So every meal is every when meal you I've got to have take to it. Take,
and okay, you calculate okay. the
but I've
amount.
I've got to calculate what's. And the thing was, I thought there was a lot of sugar on these chicken wings.
Yeah, there's glaze
and stuff.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, there must be heaps of sugar on it.
So you.
Also, alcohol brings your blood sugar down.
Sure. Okay,
and so
you
I miscorrected.
You miss,
yeah.
Okay. And.
So
God,
diabetics really can't afford to be big drinkers.
A lot of them are. Like, I drank all through my teens.
And what, you would just, like inject just...
Yeah,
you
just but
know.
I drink low-carb beers a lot of the time.
Right, okay.
Or I'd just put up with the high blood sugar and not correct it until the morning.
Do you have anything on your person that indicates that you're diabetic? Like, if you were non-responsive,
to my mum's dismay, no, I don't.
Yeah, do you have, why don't you get a tattoo? See, that would be a tattoo I would get.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have a necklace. I had a chain for around my wrist.
What do you mean you wouldn't get a tattoo? You've got something in some foreign language. You don't even know what it says on you.
I don't want a diabetes tattoo. What if I get cured? Then I've got this diabetes tattoo that isn't real.
Because how would someone, if someone came across you and you're unresponsive, how would they know to put a sugar sachet up your gum?
Well, if you come across anyone unresponsive, call an ambulance.
Yeah, I know. But, like, if you're saying that the sugar sachet could buy you a little bit of time in the meantime,
well,
waiting for an ambulance, that's pretty important information to know.
I have heard that it takes quite a while to die after you drop into that unresponsive state.
I know, but...
But, yes.
Because it would be your body slowly shutting down.
And also your body does a lot of stuff to save itself.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll grab sugar from other parts of your body and try to leak sugar out in other ways first.
I think the story arc here is get Jace a tattoo.
Where would it take other bits of sugar from?
I don't know. This is what I've just heard this, that the body is
like
incredible
other
in
systems.
How it protects itself.
It'll mine itself for sugar. I've got to go, guys. I need to do a wee. I need to go.
Wow.
We've got to get into the show.
Oh, yeah. I'm so 37 that's really
minutes.
Interesting chat.
Can we do a separate diabetes podcast?
I don't think I'm the best person to give information about.
Why not?
Diabetes.
It's
with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but like, I don't,
it's your experience.
I'm not up to date with like the latest technology
that they use.
You're
that
a scientist.
I'm still a manual injector. There's a lot of people that have like pumps and stuff.
Oh, wow.
That they're attached to them all the time and it regulates itself.
Get a little jab.
I do really need to get that.
But then, like, do you
what's
know when the
you?
Jab's coming?
Not sure.
I don't think
well,
I'd like
I've got
that.
To go. I've got to go see an endocrinologist who are the diabetes specialists.
Yeah.
And talk to them about it because I don't think you can just go buy one.
Because I guess it's got like a little you'd have a little opening on your body that is it kind of like a I'm almost
no,
not like a colostomy bag.
It's just a needle with a piece of tape over it, sort of like.
And then what do you press a button or something?
Yeah. So it I think it measures your blood sugar inside it so constantly, and then if it's going up, it'll notify you, and you just take a little bit of insulin. And so, like, you just press this button, it injects a little bit. I think that's what happens. Need more research.
Wow. I mean, gosh, science. Amazing.
Yeah, but if you're comfortable doing what you've been doing.
Yeah,
well, he's not very good. He's giving himself too much when he has chicken wings and telling Sarah to save him. So he
chicken wings are my kryptonite.
A bit of honey soy glaze and he's done.
You should have tasted these chicken wings. Incredible.
I'm not a big chicken
shout out to
person.
Luke, who is just the chicken wing master.
When I buy chicken, I don't eat the chicken wings.
Me neither.
It's the drumsticks.
No, these are little wings. Like,
I know,
wings.
I don't know.
Yeah, but they're so finicky.
And he steamed them in a barbecue.
I don't like the look of them.
It's so evident. You're
slimy.
Eating an animal.
Yes.
You would have liked these ones, I think.
I don't know. something.
I'll
about
get him
them.
To come down here. Story arc. Luke flies from Townsville and all right, cooks us all
so
chicken
many
wings.
Story arcs. Get Jay support. Convert Peter Lightfoot Oval to an
find
outside
a cool
broadcast.
Diabetes tattoo that you would want to have on you.
Subdivide Lisa's property.
Oh God.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's
so
my
much.
Main. That's what I really want to look for.
So much. All right. Well, here's today's show. There's a story arc within that. It involves Chris Hemsworth.
Also, get around the capybara.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. Those Two Girls.
Good morning.
Hello. It's a big day.
Well, it is, especially over in America, where a little over an hour ago, Joe Biden has held his inauguration ceremony to become the next president of the United States of America. Trump and former First Lady Melania hopped on a plane and went straight to Florida. So they've landed in Florida a couple of minutes ago. It's actually quite funny because, you know, we're so used to seeing Melania in her suits and her very stiff, upright kind of wardrobe, and she's hopped off the plane in a, like a flowing caftan with bright orange. I mean,
well, she's back to her OG
self
state.
Yes.
And self.
All she wanted was a sugar daddy, and she ended up in that role, and now she can go back to what she wanted. Anyway, the interesting thing about the inauguration that's really gaining some headlines is the outfit Lady Gaga wore to sing the national anthem. Mm. Now, apparently she's performed an incredibly stirring rendition, but her attire, let me take you through it. Hair braids, a long-sleeved ball dress with a black upper half, black gloves, and a red poof ball.
Very dramatic.
Skirt.
Dramatic. Gorgeous.
But on her left bosom is a giant gold dove. Now, she's worn a dove to symbolize peace, but the people aren't having it. They're saying, Gaga's wearing the Mockingjay District 13, go do your thing.
The brooch
that Katniss Everdeen wore in the film. And they're going, well, they're
bananas.
Going Gaga.
I'm gonna call it. I know we're a long way away from Halloween, but I'm going to say that Lady Gaga's inauguration look is going to be one of the most copied costumes.
No, our attention
at some
span
point
is so short. We'll forget about this by tomorrow.
It's pretty iconic. It could be up there with the meat dress. Remember that?
Yeah, but nobody copied that, did they?
Yes, they did. For Halloween, that was the most iconic costume forever, Sarah. I know you don't like Halloween, but...
No, I'm on board there. But anyway, Lady Gaga taking one for the team there, volunteering as tribute to sing. Well, not really. J-Lo then followed Lady Gaga, and she's done a mashup of This Land Is Your Land, America the Beautiful, and then just one line of her hit song, Let's Get Loud, in there.
You gotta promote yourself. You gotta put your own.
You gotta put your own creative spin on things. This land is your land. Let's get loud.
Hey, good news today, guys. Our phones are back working.
Oh my God, could it be?
Yeah. Last few days.
That's great. Well, look,
so call anytime.
If you want to join in the show at any time, give us a buzz. We're thrilled. We're pumped.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Guys, I feel like my street cred must be slipping of late because...
Just lately.
Just lately. Something's happened because over the holidays I had the absolute pleasure, Sarah, of getting back into reading, you know, with a hefty holiday break ahead of us. I thought this is my time to go back to my first love, and I devoured a number of books. And I must have been on Instagram stories or something, and in the background of my shot must have been the book I was reading, right? Mm-hmm. I received messages upon messages from people saying, excuse me, what kind of bookmark is that we see in the background? Went back in the videos going, what are they talking about? Like, I'm not... I had used a Coles receipt as a bookmark.
I mean, I'm surprised you used any bookmark. I just dog-ear the corner of the page.
Okay, me too. I am not precious with my books. I feel books are meant to be manhandled.
Which is a surprise to me. I thought you would be a bookmark kind of gal because you're very organised.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who actually buys bookmarks? I feel like kids get them and then...
But there are people in this world, Sarah, that are going to the shop and parting with their hard-earned dollars to buy an item that can be replaced by any. I mean, guys, I've used a tampon as a bookmark.
Oh, wow.
Before.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
You know, a toothbrush.
Wait, how does that even
a lip balm.
I mean, that's a bulky kind
that
of.
Is a,
I don't care. Like, it's just anything to mark that. I've used this here lip balm that I'm holding up. Just whatever. Chuck it in. Boom. Hold the page.
You are.
Coles receipt's the poor man's bookmark.
Yeah, I mean, a Coles receipt is still different, again, from a lip balm, from a tampon.
But at that particular time, that's what was within reach. I can't believe that people would expect a person like me to own, like, a bloody, like...
I mean, that's true. In Lisa's defence, she's very good with her money, and there's no way that you're going to be going to a bookstore and dropping $5 on a marker for your page.
The other question I have for you is there any such thing as a cool bookmark? It's going to be floral, or it's going to have a wombat on it.
It's going to tassel.
Right, a tassel. Am I that person, guys?
Yeah. I mean, you could. What other everyday household, a tea bag?
Tea bag is perfectly okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar sachet. Does that work?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
If you have a tea bag and the sugar sachet, you got a tea.
Yeah.
Just and a book.
And a book. A
cup of tea and a book. Like, I just, I'm deeply offended by the people who thought to bring this to my attention. I told them to rack off.
If you're those people, you don't know me. Unfollow Lise. She doesn't need you.
I don't need your judgment about what bookmark I use, for God's sake.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Folks, I forgot to tell you a story about Lise when we went on our little holiday together. Now, we booked a 3-bedroom apartment at the beach, and just Lise and I went along with our 4 kids. So Lise's 2 boys, my 2 girls, and...
We were like a little family, guys.
That's right. Now, you know in apartments when there are 3 bedrooms, but you could also rent them as a 2-bedroom, and the property manager would just lock that 3rd bedroom door so nobody can access it and it stays clean for... whoever the next booking is. Well, that's the kind of setup we have. Now, my girls were staying in that 3rd bedroom and somehow they popped the lock on the inside, shut the door behind them, and we couldn't get in. Okay, there's no key around because obviously the manager keeps that, so no riffraff can get in there. And they started to panic. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We've locked us out. This is terrible.
This was a night one of the holidays, so I think they were a bit concerned that we'd get pretty cranky on them.
Lise, being Lise. Right.
I can't wait for this.
Woman of action.
Well, just
goes,
trying to help.
Somebody get me a bobby pin. Right? So what are you doing? You just don't talk. Get me a bobby pin. So I run into my bathroom. I pull out a bobby pin, give it to her. She drops down to her knees, eye level with the lock, squints into it, puts a bobby pin in and starts jigging it around. I said, what are you doing? Do you think you're James Bond? You can't unpick that lock. Yes, I can unpick this lock.
Well, I've done it before, not only with a
bobby pin.
I've successfully unpicked locks with bobby pins in my youth. I've also had great success with a credit card or like a card
rubbish.
From your...
That's what she said to me. That's when I was 100%. Heckling her ability as some kind of, you know... I mean, you weren't even a juvenile delinquent. You weren't. You've got no criminal record,
record.
Did you have the stethoscope and put it up against the top as well?
That's for a safe, Jace.
Oh, whatever. This is all a lie, so I don't.
That's Carlaw's 11.
And anyway, look. The thing is.
It didn't work.
Locks changed.
But at least I tried. Sarah was on the verge of tears
I wasn't really. I was just like, can I just call the manager? No. And she's got this other lock in her mouth trying to get it open. So I thought, right, if the phones are finally working today, which we're told they are.
Apparently they're on.
Then let's
pack me up, guys.
Let's have some fun here. The number is 131060.
Have you unpicked a lock with a bobby pin or have you opened a door with a credit card? Guys, this was the thing.
And you're not a criminal.
I'm not a criminal.
And you're not a criminal.
Oh, yeah, the satisfaction of swiping your credit card and then popping that lock.
Have you broken in 100%. And aren't a crim? How's that?
Perfect. 131060, give us a call.
Glenn from Greta, 131060, you've called through. Have you broken into something and aren't a crim?
Yeah, I have.
What'd you do?
27 years ago or so, the local cop has walked into the pub and he's asked me if I could break into a car. And I've said no, and he said, oh, like, if you could you break into one? I said, I perhaps do. said, would you mind breaking into my cop car for me? Or I'll have to call Musselbrook and get him to bring you another set of keys down.
So hang on, let me get this straight, Glenn. So a policeman walks into the pub, says to you and asks you to break into his car.
It's like a trick question, isn't it?
This is, were you thinking you were going to be set up? Like, did you have a record in town for being excellent at this kind of thing?
No, not at all. I sort of knew the local. It's only a small town, So he's come in, put it on me, and I get a pack and tape and got his car for him and send him on his merry way.
Packing tape?
I thought you would have gone the wire hanger.
Oh, lucky no.
No. Couldn't find any wire. Bit of packing tape about back to pub.
I mean, I don't even know how that works, and I'm so curious.
Are we asking the intricacies of how to break into a car here? This is getting really dangerous.
Let's not tell anyone how to do stuff.
We'll YouTube it later. Thanks, Glenn.
This is Those Two Girls.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
I'm so glad that you two are here in this room because...
because otherwise this show's not going to air.
Otherwise it would be Remarkable Talk Back with Lee's Carlton.
A lonely, lonely lady.
No, because I want to ask, I need a male opinion and I need a mother's opinion. Okay, so this is perfect. During the school holidays, my eldest son, Remy, who's 11 years old, was lucky enough to be invited by one of his mates on a little getaway with their family, which is such a win because your kid gets to do fancy things, go on a lovely beachside holiday, and you don't have to be with them. So I packed his bag and off he chuffed for 4 days with this family that we know very well. Now, I had given that family some dollary doos to help.
Okay, Ned Flanders.
You always struggled to say that like you knew how bad it was.
Because I insist on, if they're taking my kid on a holiday, well, I want to cover. He eats like a horse, Sarah.
Sure.
So gave them a certain amount of money. And then, of course, because it's holiday time, we gave Remy some spending money. Mm-hmm. Okay, just a...
All right, so how much was this cashed up little bogan rocking? on the shores of Noosa.
Cool him. Look, I gave him $40, $10 a day. $10 a day.
Are you kidding
but
me?
With that, $10 a day. And I said, I said to him, honey.
Hang on, that's his spending money. That's not to cover
not
his
for
food.
His that's not what I gave that's the family.
No, wow. Remy will never be invited back.
No.
$10, he's a box of Nutri-Grain. Go for it.
I said to him, honey, this is for you and your mate. Like, if you guys want to walk down to the 7-Eleven, get yourselves a slushy, you make sure that you're generous and you buy one for your friend and his siblings. You know, that was sort of the $10 a day. Remy came back from his holiday and what he bought with his money, Sarah, gave me shivers up and down my spine. Mm-hmm. He didn't do the 7-Eleven slushies. He came home with a shark tooth necklace.
Oh, God.
I know.
Oh, wow.
I know. I thought I'd raised him better than that.
Okay, hang on.
He was sick, Jace. I mean, help me out here because he was so excited, guys. He was, and not only that, it's like the shark tooth necklace with like the black waxy rope bit and then a little bit of gold and then the tooth. And he was so excited when he came home and said, Mum, look what I got.
Look, you're in a danger zone here. We have discussed this previously and we've realised like boys have a window until they're about 16 to wear a shark tooth necklace.
And
but
I had
after that.
And I had your voice in my head. I had little Sarah up on my right shoulder going, Lise, they have a window until they're 16. Yes. And he falls within that window.
Okay, yes.
But I also feel as his mother, guys, that I need to shape his style and aesthetic.
Okay. I mean, next up, if you give him money and he comes home with a cartoon tie,
a cartoon tie.
Like Lise and I have this kind of
you
like.
You can't do a
It's just like a
tie.
Red flag, just a warning. A cartoon tie.
It's a deal breaker.
And foils.
You're married. Is it?
But back in the day.
I had to find a second husband, it wouldn't be someone with a cartoon tie, let me tell you. Yeah.
Or a shark tooth necklace.
The other part of the story is that he had a second necklace.
Oh.
I don't know. Wait. It was a coin necklace.
Oh.
What have I done wrong?
What kind of coin?
one of those.
Was it a foreign coin? At least something exotic? Okay.
You know, one of
A yen? Was it a yen?
I think it may have been
with a hole
yen.
In the middle?
Yes, it was a yen.
Okay, it's
is
a yen.
Okay?
That's all right. He's redeemed himself.
Has he?
Yes, I think so. That says I like to travel.
The yen undoes the shark tooth?
I mean, it says, says I like to travel to Coolum. But I like to travel.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Yesterday, Chris Hemsworth delighted, well, the entire world by posting some shirtless pics of himself on holiday with his family. Now, they've been having a little getaway up on Lord Howe Island.
Oh, is that where
before he starts filming Thor, Love and Thunder. All right. Now, it looks like the most amazing time. And there's beautiful drone shots of he and his shredded wife, Elsa Pataky, beside him as well.
Must be tough being a beautiful family, hey?
I mean, the thing that I have an issue with this photograph. Now, the majority of comments to Chris's Insta are, OMG, you can see those abs from space.
Or
you know,
your
wow.
arm is as big as my leg.
Yeah, right? The thing is, I look at this photo of he and Elsa and their two kids, two of the boys, standing on a rock surrounded by tropical clear waters, and all I see is how sunburned Chris is. Mm. Dead set. You can see his abs from space. He could also be confused with a crustacean.
Yeah.
He is that
He's
red.
A lobster level of red, Sarah. And even I know you're particularly, you always have been very sun smart and sun safe. But even I can say that that is a terrible.
That's a terrible sunburn.
We'll pop it up on
and
our
I thought,
Instagram.
Is it just me? And I scrolled deep down and there are some people like, dear God, Chris, I hope you're wearing sunscreen. I just came here to say he's sunburned. someone said he may have redhead skin, so he becomes red easily. He's massively sunburned. I think Chris has got embarrassed rashy syndrome. All right? There are some.
What's that?
Sounds serious.
People who are embarrassed to wear a rashy at the beach. And I'm saying, I think we should send Chris, we'll just mail it directly in the general direction of Byron Bay. It'll get to him. Just put Chris Hemsworth, Byron Bay, rashy.
Can't we give it to Lisa's
sister? Yeah, my sister,
lives there. She can just
and
go
remember
knock on
her
his
kids. Her kids do Tai Bo or whatever
right.
with his kids.
Yes. Well, could we just try and get a rashy to Chris? Because I know it's doing a disservice by not seeing his abs on his Instagram.
Well, that's
occasionally,
the thing. Why would you? Like, this is the thing. Why
I mean, a little
why,
bit of 50 plus wouldn't go
I'm
astray,
all
mate.
For sun protection, but with a rig like that, would you cover that up in lycra? Yeah. And also, hey, when are we? How are we going to find a rashy that
I mean,
bloody
I
can't
no,
get.
Get a rashy
I
with your faces
my
on it.
Rig up in a lycra. What's the problem?
Oh, okay.
No one's complaining there.
Yep.
No. They're grateful.
Oh, God, what have I said? All right, so rashy with
okay.
our faces
oh, look,
on it
I mean,
Chris.
We can try. I don't know if we're going to find enough lycra.
What, to cover that big body up?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
What, if, what if we put a pun on it, like, we thaw you got sunburned?
Actually, I like that.
That's good.
Okay, we need a manufacturer.
Okay.
And then we need a designer.
Start hitting
we
us up on Instagram at those two girls.
6XL. Bye, guys.
Tickety-boo, off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch-up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.